Welcome to the Hot Rod Hangout Podcast.
Whoop whoop.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Ashley.
And tonight we got a special guest in the house from Asher Studios. Troy, what's going on, man?
How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're just living a dream down here in the South. So, been talking a little bit, but wanted to hop on here with you. You know, love what you're doing up there with the pinstriping and the Rat Fink stuff, and it's purely awesome. We were checking out your work before we hopped on here. What originally got you into this crazy obsession?
My dad.
All right.
Fair.
My dad introduced me to Rat Fink at a young age, and I remember going to car shows and being bored out of my mind, and then he kind of pointed me, like, hey, check these out. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with the traditional style hot rods, the matte black paint, before the rat rod stuff took off. And then it was into lowriders. I fell in love with the art part of it, and it just took off from there.
Awesome.
Yeah, there's a fine line between the rat rod and the traditional hot rod that's kind of blending right now.
Yeah, the fence posts and the mailboxes and the wrought iron stuff, the barbed wire, that's not, you know, I can appreciate the artistic part of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But for my style, it's traditional, that's just my preference.
Oh, that's how we do it, or that's how my thought was. But there for a little while, I mean, I would have called that a rat rod, you know, the no paint, the rust, the patina, that's rat. But the more I got into it, the more deeper dive into it, it was like, well, really and truthfully, I mean, there's not a saw blade on the wheel, and those welds don't look crappy on purpose. You know, they might be crappy. They're just not on purpose, you know, but
there's not the classic, you know, the metal rat on the
the metal rat. Yeah. The spider web design, you know, that stuff. But so kind of, I always thought I was into rat rods, but it was really, I was just into, you know, traditional unrestored traditional builds. So we had talked about the Drag and Destroy show. That's coming up, right?
The one in Texas?
No, the one up nearby you.
Drop and Destroy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Drag and Destroy is in Texas, correct, and that's in September. So Drop and Destroy, I'm sorry.
Drop and Destroy is in September, and there's a few other shows I'm going to try and make it to. Used to be called the Hoosier Vintage Wheel Swap Meet back in Indy. They changed the name of it, I believe, this year. I always go out there for that show. Great turnout for that show there. And then we have the Cleveland, it's like an Autorama. They just call it Piston Power. Okay. The show I just heard about. Come up next weekend, we're going to try to make it up there.
Heck yeah.
Well, if you're continuing down, we'll be in Moultrie next weekend for their swap meet. 4,000 vendors. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 4,000 vendors and us, so. But we tried to make it.
I made it to Georgia that often. I think last time I was down in Georgia, actually, I was in the military, stationed down there at Fort Benning. So,
thank you for your service.
Yes.
So, what car that you've had do you wish you never would have got rid of, or what car did you have an opportunity to buy and it just wasn't the right time and it got away from you?
All I sold that I wish I never would have sold was actually a rat rod. It was a 70s Volkswagen Beetle chop top. It actually had a spider web roof, no fenders, slammed to the ground. Chip Foose actually saw it. I actually got a piece of artwork on the wall Chip Foose drew for me. It's just a fun car. If it gets rained on, who cares?
Yeah.
Like you stated, actually, you know, glossy paint causes stress. That car there, I drove it, and I didn't care if it leaked oil or there's one time we came around a backcountry road, and the road crowned, and I took the turn on that road, and it actually got stuck. I had to get out of the car and push it back.
Oh,
sets of low to the ground. You know, we won lowest car multiple different shows, and it was a fun car. I've seen it for sale a couple times, and I've tried to buy it back a couple times. That was one car. My entire family says, you know, that's one car you should never sold.
Jeez.
So, excuse me. I went down the wrong pipe. what show or event do you try to make every year?
The Hoosier Vintage Wheel Swap Meet. That's a show put on by a group of guys that I've become friends with over the years. And it's just a real small local show. I shouldn't say small. It's grown. We've had almost 300 cars in the car show part of it.
Oh, wow.
You know, but I actually had a gentleman travel a very long distance, put it that way, just to come over to meet me at that show. And it's a show that I can set up at. My youngest daughter's been there every time with me. She's kind of grown up at that show. You know, the World of Wheels back in Indy, I've tried to make as much as possible. The U.S. Nationals, big drag race out there in Indy. I have not missed a race maybe 5 times since 92.
Oh, wow. All right.
I try to make it out there as much as possible for that race. It's kind of a family tradition. Yeah. My dad, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, we all go to that race. But there's a huge bucket list of shows I still want to get to. You know, the Moon Knight Christmas show, Yokohama. They've been trying to get me to come over there for a couple of years now. The Amber Award, you know, there's the Rockabilly Rockets coming up this year here in Ohio. I'm going to try to make it to. Yeah, it's a big list of shows I want to make it to.
So you said the U.S. Nationals, you said you haven't missed a race. So you were there for the record-breaking Pontiac GTO when he ran a 399 from that show on television?
Yes. And that was a huge discussion. People were mad that he was there. I look at it, that's how NHRA got started, was getting people off the street and onto a track, making it safe. And that's what he did and made his career up. People were booing him for that. And I was like, that's not right. And you guys touched on it in a couple episodes in the past. I've heard that, you know, you have that older crowd that has kind of set their ways. And, you know, you also have these people in there that need to show respect. Be respectful to the venue that you're at. I was there for that one. I was there when John Force and Kenny Bernstein broke 300 miles per hour on a Friday night with the candles lit. And funny story, you guys went to Don Garlitch Museum. My first job was working at the racetrack there. And it was super, super Chevy weekend, big mm-hmm. cars they had. Don Garlitch was there. I was working the gate. He pulls in with his rig. He doesn't have his ticket. So I can't let you in. You know who I am? Yes, sir, I do. Okay, I can't let you in. He gets upset and leaves. The security guard was there with me. He's like, you probably should have done that. I said, dude, no ticket, no entry. He comes back from the hotel, this ticket and everything. He's like, on your lunch break, you come down here and you see me. I want to talk to you. I'm 14 years old.
Oh, geez.
I'm scared out of my mind. Walked down there. He actually stopped talking. He was talking to you. Like, son, he goes, I'm sorry for getting upset with you. You were doing your job. If it wasn't people like you doing your job, I wouldn't have a place to come and do what I do.
Yep.
And he gave me a baseball card of himself and actually autographed it. And I think that's like the one item I still have to this day.
Yeah.
You know, of course, Dad and I went down to the museum as well, but it's just kind of cool. That track has a lot of memories. You know, I got a picture of me and my dad, my first race there, a picture of me and my oldest daughter with her first race there.
Awesome.
When my 2-year-old gets old enough, I'll take her and we'll get a picture taken there together. So,
yeah, that's awesome. And Don Garlitz is one of, And there's a few drivers out there, but Don Garlitz is one of the drivers that exemplifies what it should be all about. You know, I've seen him. I've had the opportunity to see him at a racetrack. I've also had the opportunity to have dinner with him, and I didn't know I was having dinner with him. Mm-hmm. But he, outside of, I mean, he's the man. I mean, probably one of the most recognizable drivers that's still drawing breath. And even if you're not a drag race fan, you know who Big Daddy Don Garlitz is. And doesn't act like he's anything other than low buck guy that, because he knows where you started, and he knows that all of us have to start there. You know, you can't buy your way into a pro mod. You know, you can't buy your way into Top Fuel. You know, you now it does take money to run Top Fuel, but you know, but a lot of the racers have gotten a rap of they drive the car, they don't want to interact with the fans. You know, that was the one thing. And me and Dad, I think it was my first Gator Nationals down here. It was Super Chevy. And it was right before the Gator Nationals. We were up there. And Kenny Bernstein rode by on a bicycle. And my dad was like, "Yo, you're Kenny Bernstein." He was like, "Yep." And just kept pedaling. Like, it wasn't like anything, you know. And he was just going from, he tested his Top Fuel car, and he was going to run, you know, what they call them, the A stocks, or the cars that actually look like normal cars, street stocks or whatever they were doing for Super Chevy. And it was just awesome. And I'll never forget that. And that's kind of what we're trying to do is with this is show that not everyone is stuck in their ways. If you show respect, people will show you stuff. And we want to learn everything we can learn, because those quote-unquote old guys know their shit. And if they die, it's all going with them if they don't teach somebody. So
I think that there's a perfect example. I got out of the military, driving around one day, bored, pulled into Gasoline Alley back in Indy, saw a hot rod shop, stopped in just to check it out, met a gentleman, Jim Linder, Eric called him Bubba. He was like, "Can I help you?" I'm like, "I'm a young guy, I like hot rods, I don't like to build one." He handed me a stack of mini magazines and goes, "Go home, read these, come back on Wednesday, we have hot rod night." I did. And throughout my life, you know, I've been able to call on him for, you know, "Hey, how did you guys do this back in the day?" You know, last car I built, I had a 302 out of a 90s F-150. And I wanted to look traditional. The distributor does not look traditional on the motor. And that's what he did, was build custom distributors and fuel injection and stuff. And he did what he called a butt swap, and changed it to where it had a Mallory flat top distributor top on it. So it was on the motor. It looked right. And, you know, the older gentleman, it was frustrating for me getting into it, because there's some old gentlemen that don't want to help. Mm-hmm. And it's not like they don't want to help. They want to see you stick with it. You got to prove to them mm-hmm. you're actually going to do this. You're just wasting their time. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I've seen multiple times, once you prove them, "Hey, this is what I'm about." Yeah. They have no problem helping you and bend over backwards for you. And I've had some great friends, made some amazing great friends over the years, with hot rodding and, you know, even with my artwork. Some people actually I admired, I looked up to, they were kind of like my idols. And, you know, now we're sitting here hanging out, and yeah. You know, it's definitely cool.
Yep. A lot. And also a lot of, the bigger names in the car industry, you know, they want to talk about their shit just the same as we do. They're proud of what they built. I mean, you get some that the Amber, the Riddler cars, you know, those guys, some of the owners, not necessarily the builders, but some of the owners don't want to talk to you. But you know, it's a different tax bracket thing. You know, I don't have $300,000 to go have somebody build me a car. Shoot, I don't even have $300 to, you know, I'm selling one to try to make another one, you know, like, but they all started there. And, you know, I always use Ian Rossell as an example of that. Dude's on television, but the first couple seasons, he didn't go over to his break and bend that metal. He bent it over his knee. You know, he didn't have fancy this. He had to figure out how to make it work. And he still built cool, he still had cool shit, but it was him doing it. And, you know, that was the first show I remember, you know, as a kid growing up. You know, Saturday morning you watch Power Block on Spike TV, and, you know, they would, all right, today we're going to do this. And then it would go to commercial break and they'd come back and it'd be done. And I'm like, man, them commercial mechanics, those are fast. Like, you know, they'd get four bolts off and come back and there'd be a new motor sitting in the chassis. And you're like, wait a second. Like, I think you missed a couple steps in there, bud. Like, and with his show, you know, he walks you through. And there's a bunch of shows. We got rid of cable and now we have YouTube. And we watch those shows, and they show you, like, okay, this is what I was trying to do. I messed up. This is how I fixed it. This is how I'm not going to fuck up again, you know? And I appreciate that more than the, oh, yeah, I rolled my car out of the trailer, and it's pretty, and I puffed on it, and, you know, I got the California duster out, and then we're going to roll it back in a trailer, and I'm going to take it home, and I'm going to stare at it in my garage. You know, no, I want to see you win an amber and go out there and put it on the chip and throw some rubber at people. You know, like, drive your shit, man. Like, and like we were talking about the, you know, some of those California shops that we were talking about before we hopped on here. Like, that's what I like about those shops is, yeah, they have beautiful cars. They'll take a car to the Grand National Roadster Show and then drive it. Like, that's cool. But, so, what are you currently working on?
Currently,
I decided to build my dream rod. It's a roadster pickup truck that I've started designing when I was 12 years old and have never done. I guess because I'm afraid if I get it done, it's done.
It's never done, though.
You're never done.
Right. You know, I told my dad I wanted a four-cylinder Iron Duke from a hot rod for so long. He's tired. Like, he straight up told me the past couple years, dude, get the Iron Duke out of your mind. It's not going to happen. Just forget the Iron Duke, you know? And I'm like, no, it's time now. I go with the Iron Duke or a Pinto motor or even the Chevy 153 from the Novas back in the day. There's been a couple roadsters built with those that, you know, there's actually one that the gentleman who owns Barris's old shop has had a yellow tee with a four banger in it. It's just something I saw when I was a kid, fell in love with it. And that's the next build. I'm scrounging parts together right now. And that's something that hopefully will be done over the next 12 months.
Awesome.
Heck yeah.
So the four cylinder is a unique motor choice. Usually the four cylinder don't stick around. And definitely if you're replacing a motor, you're usually not going back with a four cylinder. It's unique. I like it. But just the nostalgia, or what's keeping you wanting that motor?
Off cover. When I was a kid, I saw one. It had a polished cast aluminum valve cover on it. And instead of saying Chevrolet in the old Corvette style script, mm-hmm. it said Chevy because the valve cover is so small. And I like, that's cool. And it's the details like that that I just love. You know, a 27 that I sold, had a Pinto, 2300 in it. And I just, It reminds me of my childhood. Again, coming from the mini trucks, a lot of mini trucks had four bangers in them. Mm-hmm. You know, guys were starting to do the V8 swaps and the S10 about that time frame. But when I was younger, I got in trouble a lot for going too fast. And since probably past 8 years now, it's low and slow. Keep it to where I, you know, won't get a ticket if I keep my foot out of it. But I also want to keep it to, like, I've had some cars that were way too much horsepower for as little as a car weighed, and I didn't feel safe. You know, I've always been, you know, Model A style drum brakes. I had a friend of mine who had a 32 heading on the interstate, lost control, smacked the retaining wall because he had drum brakes. He didn't maintain them like he should have. So now it's like, okay, I'm going to go with disc brakes. But I'm going to put the aluminum fin covers on to make them look like they're drums. But, you know, there's that four bangers. It's just from my childhood. And, yeah, I built this one here. It's, I've had a lot of people in the past talk me out of doing it. One time I actually had two motors. It was talked out of doing them. But this time here, it's full throttle.
I'm not trying to talk you out of it. I just was... That's a different, you know, most people are, you know, V8 flathead, small block Chevrolet, Ford motor.
The flathead, I would love to do a flathead. The only thing that's getting about flatheads is I want to jump in this and drive it everywhere. If I'm like, you know what, I got a 3-day weekend, I want to come down and see you guys down in Florida, I'm jumping in the T, let's go.
Yeah.
The dual water pumps on a flathead and reliability is what scares me off that. You know, small block Chevys.
Everyone has got them.
Small block Chevys. I've looked at the Y blocks. I've looked at, you know, Ford motors. And the Ford motor I did, like I said, it was a 302. Everything for small block Chevy for a 302 is double the cost.
Yeah.
I got a flyer from Jag Racing. They had the Lakester style headers on sale for a small block Chevy, $100. I call and say, hey, I need for a small block Ford 302, $400. Same manufacturer. And I'm like, buddy, same material. I sell material. It's same amount of work and everything. What, why is it? He's like, I'll do it this one time. I'll match the price, but that's all the time I can do it. And after that, I'm like, now I know why they do small block Chevys. And then, you know, like, I don't want to go anything bigger because, you know, you see a lot of guys in Model T buckets. They're fairground cars. You know, they got too big of an engine. They can't drive them out on the street. They can't enjoy them.
Yeah.
They just put around the car show. I want something I can get out and drive and enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a guy that lives in my mom and dad's neighborhood that he does the Speedway kits, and he puts the 4.3 V6 in them. You know, same engine design as a small block, just with two cylinders cut off the back end of it. But he does that. And I also think he does the inline, the 300 straight six Ford motors with just one lakeside pipe.
Well, the inline six motors are starting to gain traction. Mm-hmm. You're seeing a lot of more of them being used, especially in traditional hot rods. As far as roasters, you know, I mean, you still have them in trucks and cars like your guys's. But you start seeing a lot more of them in roasters because finding motors is starting to get a little difficult. Mm-hmm. Over the past 4 years, finding an engine, you know, even a core to have rebuilt, it's just getting tough to find.
Yeah. Especially if you want to keep old school look. Because, and I mean, the 300 straight six, that motor's, I mean, it's super reliable. So you get the benefits of that. You're not going to overpower the chassis. You know, with small block, it's pretty easy to, well, I'm in here, so let me go ahead and, you know, put a little bit of bump stick in it. And, oh, well, I'm already here. I might as well, you know, hang 397s off the top of it. Oh, wait, I'm doing that.
You know what? I've had tri-powers, love tri-powers. You know, I've been the Super 97s, the Strombergs. I mean, Bob's tri-powers done all my work for me and everything. Now it's like, you know what? I want simplicity.
Yeah.
You know, I want to jump in something and go. In tri-powers, you can get that. It just takes a lot of tuning and you know, and fine-tuning. That's why I said you have to get with the older gentlemen that know how to do this stuff and have them show you how to do it. Mm-hmm. So I've gone through carbs like you wouldn't believe when I first got into tri-powers. You know, I was like, throw it on there. Didn't work. Hey, that brand new carburetor, throw it away. Buy another one. No, that one doesn't work. Throw it away. Buy another one. And finally, I had an older gentleman like, stop. just wait. Just give it a minute, you know. And but yeah, like the if I do a four cylinder, I'll probably end up running a dual 97s on it, or a single 97, but probably duals. Clifford used to make a intake to run a four barrel on the four cylinder Iron Duke. I would take that intake, do the three Rochesters to a single four barrel adapter, and stack it up and have the, you know, come off the side of the engine pretty high and everything. But you know, there's a lot you can do with the Iron Duke motors, especially over in Australia. There's a lot of race car parts for them. There is some here in the U.S. as well, but over in Australia, there's a lot more.
Yeah. Goodness. what was a? I'm frozen now.
Tell us about Asher Studios.
Asher Studios started in 2018. Was told I needed to calm it down with the metal work and start taking life easier. Mm. Had a customer bring a pinstriping kit to work. Said, hey, I bought this for my son. He doesn't use it. See if he's any good at it. Turned out I was pretty decent at it. And then you know, COVID hit. I entered a contest. I wanted to do a custom skateboard to hang in the back of my truck I had at the time. And I won a contest. This company's going to make me a custom skateboard however I wanted it for free. So I designed something I wanted, sent him pictures. Hey, that's what I want. You know, I want a Rat Fink skateboard for myself. Ended up making it, but it wasn't the way I wanted it. And then the owner of Moon Eye saw it and was like, hey, can you make those for us? And, yeah. And I worked out a deal with them and everything. And then that's what got me in the door with Moon Eyes. Kind of the same thing with you know, SoCal and you know, other shops. And just kind of took off from there. And, you know, it's been a blessing. I've met a lot of great people. You know, Johnny Jalopy, watching his show and everything, and kind of got me wanting to go full bore into it. And it's developed now where, you know, we're doing shirt designs and different products for companies, and still occasionally doing commission work. You know, it's something that's when I get older, I'll probably go into full time. But right now it's just my hot rod money and, you know, it's allowed me to meet great people and interact with people. And, you know, I have my phone number on my Facebook page. That's my personal cell phone number. I've had kids call me at midnight in Alpha, California. Hey, I'm gonna buy a skateboard. Oh, okay. Let me wake up, buddy. I'll get you taken care of, you know? And, I love that, you know, you know, my dad is always, he's always been pushing me in my artwork. Like, dude, just keep doing it, keep doing it, you're doing a great job. Mm-hmm. But he also told me that always make it to where kids can enjoy it as well. And there's been a lot of times where someone's asked me to do something. I'm like, you know what? No, you know, yeah, it might be funny or, you know, but it's not appropriate for all ages. So no, I won't do it.
Right.
And that's kind of how I kind of kept Asher Studios, and I always will do Asher Studios that way. And keep it to where everyone of all ages can enjoy the artwork. And, I've got sponsorship with House of Color and Mac Brush Company, and you know, it's afforded me to be able to do and meet great people, work with great people. You know, it's definitely awesome for sure. Just from, you know, doctors saying, hey, you can't, you know, go out and beat on metal all day like you used to. You need to take it a little bit easier. And
yeah.
So it's nice.
Awesome. Awesome. Well.
So, have you made it out to any of the West Coast, the, you know, the Moon Eyes, the SoCal shows or anything like that?
Back in the early 2000s, Dad and I drove to California. We flew out to Arizona and took up Interstate 5. Went all the way up to San Francisco, and we hit SoCal Speed Shop and Sims Choppers and Arlen Ness's shop, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we went to the Winter Nationals out there in California, big drag race. Mm-hmm. And my dad was, let's go to Moon Eyes. Said, yeah, it's too far away. We got to get to the airport and fly home. I'm like, oh, okay. A couple years later, he goes out there for that same race. He's like, sends me a picture of him, Moon Eyes, standing next to Ed Ross' statue. I'm like, what are you doing? Heck? He's like, dude, I did not know they actually have a bus running from the drag strip to Moon Eyes back and forth all day long.
Oh, geez.
It's only like 20 minutes away. I'm like, oh. So no, haven't made it there yet. It was funny when Moon Eyes was selling the different skateboards and stuff I was doing. My friends would go out there and visit Moon Eyes. They sent me pictures of my product inside their shop for sale, and that was cool. You know, Moon Eyes Japan, that's the goat for me. That's the one I gotta get to.
Yeah, that's we're just trying to get to the West Coast. We haven't even tried to get outside of the country yet. But
I would say probably 85% of my customer base is actually out of the US. I would say 50% of my customer base is just in Australia alone.
Oh, wow.
You know, we have New Zealand, Australia, Japan, the UK, Spain. I'll shift stuff wherever. I don't care. And I've met some great people in all different countries, and I've talked to them. And I know my wife kind of gets upset when the phone rings at 2 a.m, but you know, it's great to see the hot rod styles around the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a good, I would call him a good friend up in Canada. He's loves SoCal Speed Shop. You know, he's been a great supporter and everything. And him and I have talked about me coming up there for their show. And it's worldwide for sure.
Well, hopefully some of your clients will be listening, because we are listened to in most of those places.
Yep. Yeah, we share the content and everything. Actually, my oldest daughter is actually texting me right now. She's trying to find the podcast she can listen to. I say it'll be on tomorrow or whatever. You can listen
it'll
to
it. It'll be, yep, about 20 minutes after we end this podcast, it'll mm-hmm. be up.
Yeah.
Because we don't do much editing. I'm not smart enough to edit, I'll be honest. I've tried to like take out some ums and some uhs and some blank space, and I haven't figured it out. I have deleted whole episodes, so that's always good. So we just go with try to get it right the first time, and if not, you know, everybody that listens, you know, they understand that it's not a, you know, we're not searching for perfection. We're just trying to connect people together.
I guarantee as soon as my dad hears this, he'll hear all the ums I'm saying, he'll call me out on it. So.
Oh, goodness.
Well, it's all good. Like I said, we're still fresh, and we're trying to grow it, you know, trying to put
I'm about a little, to be a part of it and help you guys grow it. It's, you know, when I came across that, actually at work, bored, I never listened to a podcast ever before you guys.
Cool.
And I just put it on, and I was like, you know, it's kind of cool. And then I heard the one with John Jalapa. Hey, I know that guy. And then when you made a comment about the Dragon Destroyer, I'm like, did he say Drop and Destroy? I know that show too. you know, so then when I listened to John talk about mini trucks and high rise, I'm like, okay, me and we're going to get along great. Oh, yeah. So.
Well, and then we always try to say, like, I don't care what it is. If you're into cars, you know, I don't have to like it. But I'll appreciate it. You know, like the hydraulic cars, more West Coast builds. I don't necessarily, that's really not my style, but I can definitely appreciate the work that goes into them or the amount of money that they're getting dumped into them. Mm-hmm. I don't understand squatted trucks. I don't understand rubber band tires. My truck's lifted, but it's got sidewalls. You know, I don't understand all that, but if that's what it's going to take to get people out and enjoying their stuff, then do it. Just know
when
that
when it comes to the squatted trucks, I never really understood that, but I kind of like, okay, back in the 90s, you had the bow-legged Hondas, you know, in the donks. I never really understood donks until I worked for Jag's Performance, and I would say probably a good 80% of the phone calls I would get was guys who were building donks. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and then they, you know, yeah, this donk drag racing. And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, I can respect that. Mm-hmm. You know, the lowrider stuff, my dad kind of got me into that with artwork and everything. And I remember the Lowrider Magazine car shows coming to Indy, and I was ecstatic. We gotta go.
Yeah.
And dad was like, hey, we're going to go. We planned it. And then he found out they actually have metal detectors, and you have to get wanded to get into the show. They're like, listen, we're not going to go because of that. You know, there's something going on, and where he's like, we're not going to go to shows like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we didn't get to go, and it was a couple of years before I got to get a chance to actually see a lowrider in person or anything, but I fell in love with the artwork of it, and, you know, the Tequila Rose and all these old bombs and everything. I just fell in love with lowriders. You've had an opportunity to meet Mr. Cartoon. He's a huge lowrider artist. You know, it's always fascinated me with the lowriders. I've owned mini trucks, whatever, I ever owned some of them with hydraulics. It's a little bit too much maintenance for me to maintain. It's like, I'll go with air rides a little easier. And I'm sure hydraulics gotten simpler over the years, but, you know, it's, I would say my dream lowrider would be a 58 Impala, purple, mm-hmm. white interior, full stitching, pinstriped, triple chrome Ds, four pump setup, 16 switches. and it's actually the same car that's in a TLC music video that came out in 96.
Oh, geez.
But yeah, that's my dream lowrider. I've always had my top five, my lowrider, my high ride, my custom, my chopper, my truck. But that was always my lowrider.
Oh, okay. Goodness.
Oh, then what's the hot rod?
Hot rod is Beanie Bandit. The Beanie Bandit is, in my opinion, the best car ever done. I have every Hot Wheel of every color other than Beanie Bandit. I've been a bandit. That's my hot rod.
That's awesome. Oh, goodness gracious.
Muscle car?
Not a big fan of muscle cars.
Okay.
You know, my wife, when we first met, bless her heart, she's like, I want a 69 Camaro. I'm like, wow, that's an expensive build. I'm like, you know, we'll have to wait for it, you know, and we go to a car show, and I'm like, there's your 69 Camaro, and she's, where?
Yeah.
Do you even know what a 69 Camaro looks like? you know, but, you know, muscle cars, I can respect them, but I always see the same thing done over and over and over again, muscle cars. And I'm not an engine guy by any means. So when you guys talk about, you know, big blocks, 454s and all over my head, you know, I'm a painter. I'm into the look of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I build this TM gear I start doing. I don't care about the way the motor looks. If I have to, you know, I plan on getting an S10, yanking the motor transmission out of it. If I gotta keep the ECU and with it, okay, I'll hide it somewhere. It's gonna be fully hooded. You're not gonna see the engine.
Right.
It's going to drive and look good. So
that's. I've always said that cars with hoods can get away with motors that aren't conventional. Our cars with, especially if they're side paneled too, you know, like the 54, I've I've said that whenever, or originally I said that I was going to V8 and automatic swap it. And I was like, I don't care if it gets an LS, you ain't going to, you're never going to see it.
You know, LS swap has been one that I've been pushing back on. I had a 58 Chevy Apache that we just sold back in the winter. And it had a small box Chevy in it, full air ride, laid frame, great truck. And I was like, you know what? I can see the appeal to an LS in a vehicle like this.
Yes.
Like your guys' Chevy. I can see the appeal putting an LS. You just drive the crap out of it.
Hit the key and go.
And it's, you know, my wife, she wants a 40s to 50s pickup truck. She don't care if it's Chevy, Ford. She don't care if she's an old truck. I'm like, you know what? I can see doing an S10 chassis swap and keeping the 90-degree V6 in it or doing a small – I'd probably actually do an LS swap over a small block for her because she's not popping hoods when she goes to a show.
Right.
You know, she'll leave it parked out front of the house, getting some rain and snowed on. She wants to be able to jump in, go to the grocery store, take her daughter to school. She's not doing burnouts or anything. And she also looks at how much money I spend on dressing my engines up and doing the tri-power. She's like, you know, picking out wheels for my car. She's like, how much are those tires? I'm like, yeah, how much they cost. No, not on her car. She's like, nope. So
just the practical cheap ones.
Yeah.
It seems like the skinnier and the taller you get, the more expensive they are.
Yeah, I tell you what, like I had the last 27 I had a set of Coker track tires on it. And they were dry rod, they were older. They were probably from the early 2000s. And I called Coker up, said, hey, I need to order a new set of these tires. It's going to be almost $2,000 for four tires. And lady on the phone's like, look at the sidewall of your tires. And I'm like, yeah, the DOT day. She's like, no, look, keep going around the tire. And it said, for display purposes only on those tires.
Yeah.
They're not meant to be on the road at all.
Oh.
And I'm like, then why am I buying these tires? I have a good friend who works for Coker Tire, and him and I just talked. I'm like, you know, there's other options out there. You got Taos City Tire, Diamondback Tires. But yeah, tire costs is getting, you know, higher and higher. And, you know, it's... I kind of laugh about it because my buddies who are into the LS stuff and doing the, you know, all my stuff's brand new and billet and all this stuff. They're like, you dump all this money and find these old parts that are traditional to reuse them. But you're spending the same amount we are for the new stuff. I'm like, well, yeah, but now the new stuff is even higher. So I'm actually getting a deal now. So I'm good with that.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I mean, I've done a couple LS, I've been involved in a couple LS swaps. I mean, they're really easy to make power. I mean, so if you're looking for something that, you know, can stand some power, LS is, I mean, but I also can appreciate the fact that you don't want to put an LS motor in a Model A or a 32.
There's a lot of stuff coming out of LS motors where they don't look bad in an open fenderless car.
Classic Industry sells. There is a company that dresses them up to make them look like a small block. So why don't you just start with a small block?
You have to get the reliability and the fuel injection in the ignition system on a small block. That's the big thing.
But I mean, you have Sniper, Phytech, Holly will send you a whole, you know, the Terminator, the Dominator. I mean, they're everything. I would say in the last 5 years has basically made it a no-brainer on any of these swaps. I mean, like Johnny was talking about in our episode with him, you know, there was no swap for an S10. You know, it was build a bracket, build this. And now, I mean, you can call up Dirty Dingo and say, hey, I'm trying to swap this motor into this car, and I need this. All right, it's on its way. You know, they've taken the guesswork out, and I was speaking with, you know, Gasser Garage over there, and his girlfriend has a 53, I believe, and they put the single barrel sniper on it. And he's like, that's the best decision we ever made. She can walk out, hit the key, it starts up every time. Because that's the one thing with the 54 is sometimes she takes some convincing to want to run. So, but
I want to see with carburetors, you know, they're doing some great things with carburetors. I mean, the Edelbrock AVS2 carburetor, great carburetor. You know, and the fuel injection setup, sniper and all out there, they make it to where it's affordable to piece a kit together, but you got to know what pieces to put together.
Right.
And I'm always lost at that stuff. So you need to take care of whatever we swap under my
clothes. Oh, and that's like, and that's the one thing with the sniper and Edelbrock both. And Holly, you can call them and say, this is what I'm going. And if they don't have a package, like the single barrel for that motor comes as a package, comes with a fuel pump, comes with the little box, start it up, tell it to program itself, go drive around, you're good to go. They've made it, they've taken it away from, you know, I mean, I remember my first LS swap that I was involved in, you hit the key and you're like, maybe it'll start. But with the Terminators and the Dominators and the stuff that they're doing now, if you plugged it in correctly, it's going to run. It might run like crap for the first 5 or 10 seconds till it figures out where it wants to be. But as long as you have selected the right package, it comes in a box ready to plug in. But
my 25T had a 327 tri-power on it, and I actually looked at the Sniper single barrel carburetor set they have for it, and running a tri-power with that setup. You know, I'm kind of glad that car went back to California, back to Keith Wiesner, because that car there it was the most traditional hot rod I ever owned. And when I found out he was interested and he wanted to buy, I'm like, yeah, dude, it's you're the guy to do this car justice. You know, he's going to do a great job with it when he gets to finish as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, we have the guy that I bought the 32 from. He's working on a traditional roadster right now, and he got accepted into Trog. So congratulations, Ryan Gilmore.
Congrats. That's awesome.
So, but that car, I love it. Don't get me wrong, but it's just not me. He's the one that also gave me the best saying I've ever heard on a flathead: the most money you'll spend to go slow. Because his flathead is absolutely beautiful, but it's going to be slow. But
once you're willing to drop about 10 grand in a flathead to get some power out of it, it's going to look cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, his motor does look cool. I mean, it is. It was built by Tidewater Fab, which is Don Garlitz's shop foreman, I believe. So he knows flatheads.
The guys out at H&H Flatheads. And,
oh, yes.
You know, their stuff's beautiful. And I don't know if I'll ever do a build with a flathead. I love them. They look great. I just don't know if I ever would do one with what I have planned.
I would like to find a flathead motor, and now I'm putting it on the internet, so I'll probably get 85,000 of them in my inbox. I would like to find a flathead motor that is garbage. That way I can take it apart. And if it never runs again, I did not make it worse. If it happens to run when it's done, I improved it. I'm good. But I told Caden, the kid that I had on the first episode with us, I've told him he's LS8 up. And I've told him, like, go buy an LS motor that the guy says doesn't run. Take it apart, put it back together. I said, if it runs, you did good. If it doesn't run, well, you didn't make it worse. It didn't run when you got it. So, but unfortunately, crappy flatheads are still expensive. So,
look at buying a flathead like that just to do up, sit on the engine stand. Yeah. Every once in a while, go fire it up just for, you know, just to look cool. And there's actually a guy in Indiana that actually does sell flatheads, blocks, whatever you want. I want to say a good core was like $300-$400.
That's not bad.
Yeah. You know, I got with H&H, because H&H does kind of the same thing. I don't know if they'll sell a core, but they buy cores for them to rebuild their engine and stuff with. And even then, Rolling Bones out of New York would be a good option for it. Let's see, I really don't know too many people down in Florida that does flatheads.
I know Tidewater, which we met him a couple months back, or it's been a little while now, at the first gathering at Ryan's house. He's a big flathead guy. Ryan's got quite a few flatheads.
Stacked up in the corner.
No, he's only got a couple motors. But there was a guy in Brooksville, which is like 30 minutes from here. He had a couple for sale, and I was trying to work a deal with him. But I don't know enough about flatheads. I was trying to shout out to Zach Parks with Wire Customs. I tried to like study his videos and try to figure it out, but I didn't know what I was buying. And I told the guy that, and automatically I think there was some shadiness, like, oh yeah, this is the motor you're looking for. And I'm like, pretty sure it's not. So,
yeah.
Cause I wanted a 8BA because H&H sells a automatic adapter for an ABA. So
I think they got turbo Chevy adapters, and they have the C4 adapters you can get all day long.
Yeah.
Yeah, the flatheads have gotten a little bit more easier to find parts for as well. Yeah.
But she can drive Ashley can drive a stick shift enough to, like, if I needed her to drive one, she could get it home. But
down
she's
the street, maybe.
She's not very confident. And being honest, I mean, I know I'm going to get flamed for saying this, but I'd rather have an automatic. Just for the simplicity, if I'm out driving the car, I'm not, you know, it's not a show thing. It's, I want to drive it.
Just sit back and cruise.
And putting it in D for that way is way easier than, especially, the 54 has an S10 5-speed in it, and it still has the floor-mounted clutch pedal, so about 4 shifts of using the clutch and that left leg starting to twitch at the next red light while you're holding it there. It's, yeah. But it's embracing the suck of what it is right now.
Oh, goodness. Oh,
that was the wrong button.
What did you do?
I went to open another tab and it gone. What show, or is there a show or event that you've never been to that you'd like to make?
The show out over in Japan. That'd be one I'd love to make. The promoter swap meet.
Mm-hmm.
Love to go to that. The Lone Star Roundup. Would love to make it out there. Daryl Starbird show, Gene Winfield show. I would like to go to Indian Larry's shop up in New York. There's a couple that would be pretty cool to go to. I missed on the Hunter Carl Powell up and the kind of the traditional shows that are popping up in the early 2000s. I kind of missed out on going to those. But yeah, there's the Yokohama, obviously, probably be the one that's a bucket list for me.
That's cool. Yeah, me and Ryan at the last gathering were talking about possibly trying to road trip hot rods to Lone Star Roundup one of these years. So I definitely need a sedan for that, though, or at least a coupe.
Dad and I always talk about doing a road trip, either flying our cars out to California and driving a Route 66 back, or driving out there and flying the cars back. But that's something like, you know, the T, when I build it, that's something I want to be able to drive it, you know, long haul. And T buckets are the chopper of the hot rod world. They're cool. They don't ride that well.
Right. Yes. You know, they're not going to ride real good on Route 66 either.
No, at all.
There's no vehicle that rides really well on Route 66. Route 66 is literally the worst. Coming from somebody who drove a truck, that is literally the worst road in the country.
I bought that 25. We couldn't get a shipper to bring the car to Indy. And we were seconds from pulling the trigger, putting me on a plane, flying out there. The guy I bought it off of, I was like, man, does it have a cigarette charger I can plug my phone? He's like, yeah. Like, so good, I'm driving it back home. I'm just going to fly out to California and drive a 25T with a 327 tri-power all the way back to Indiana in the middle of winter. This was like, I want to say it was mid-November.
Oh, that's ripe winter, too.
Yep, I mean, the biggest thing I had to get around was Colorado. I was getting through the Rockies.
Yeah.
And luckily, at the last minute, a shipper came through. He was like, yeah, I can pick it up tomorrow. You guys have it within a week. But yeah, I was down. Like, you know, got my leather jacket, my beanie cap, and some goggles, and let's roll.
Hell yeah. That exemplifies the drive your shit. So what's one piece of advice that you would give someone trying to get into this car hobby?
Best piece of advice I've been given about it. Okay. Keep your mouth shut and your ears open. Learn as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dirty hands equal clean money. Keep your hands busy and your head down, mm-hmm. and you'll get it. I've been fortunate enough and I've sacrificed enough, you know, being as young as I am, to have the hot rides I've had. You know, there's been times where it's like, you know what? I'm eating bologna sandwiches for the next week so I can afford this set of tires for the hot rod.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a beautiful wife and two, you know, great daughters that they know that's how I am. And I don't sacrifice, you know, they're number one.
Mm-hmm.
They know that, and I'll never put the hot rods above them, but they also know that's what I'm about. And they're right there with me at shows. And, you know, my oldest daughter, she does not like hot rods. That's not her thing. You know, she likes her horses and her 4-H stuff. But she's been to the U.S. Nationals with me, and she knows that, you know, when I ran a car one time, and she was there watching me run down the drag strip, and she's supportive. And my youngest daughter, she was, but before she was born, Moon Eyes in Japan sent us a package, and every year they do a set of custom Moon Eyes Van tennis shoes that they sell at the show.
Mm-hmm.
They actually sent me a pair of baby shoes, Moon Eyes Van shoes for
That's awesome.
A shirt, a beanie cap. So the day she came from the hospital, she was decked out in Moon Eyes.
Heck yeah.
So that's she's all about hot rods.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Shout out to supportive significant others.
Yes. Yes.
Without them, this would be a little more challenging.
It is, yes.
So I have a new question that we haven't asked anybody.
Uh-oh.
What is your favorite car movie?
Oh.
Excuse me. Wow. Favorite car movie? Oh, wow. That's going 100 miles an hour. Gosh.
Really threw a curveball.
I would say the Munsters.
Okay.
Okay.
When Lily goes to buy their Munster coach. Mm-hmm. It's actually a black tea bucket. She actually points, I want that, but I want four doors. I want, you know, this, this, and that. And she, they build a Munster coach. Licorice Pizza movie came out a couple years ago. The 25T I own was actually in that movie. And that then is. Next would probably have to be Ian Russell's Hot Rods Back from the Dead. Love that. Watching them build that, that roaster. yeah, I would say number one, probably the Munsters. And then, well, definitely, the car that ate my brain. I was a teenage, custom shirt painter, Von Franco. Those movies as well. Have been awesome.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Now, my favorite, a lot of people, I'll probably get a flack for this one. My favorite motorcycle movie.
Okay.
Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man.
Okay. Yeah, have you ever seen? Have you ever seen The World's Fastest Indian?
Yes, great movie. Yes. Great movie.
We actually rode with a guy that knew him.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, right. that was a great movie. I think it's one of Anthony Hopkins' best movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was awesome in that movie.
Yep, Mr. Charlie Gill, which shared a birthday with my dad, 20 some years apart. He told us about that movie and then said that he knew the real life guy. So that was, I love that movie for car or for motorcycles, just from the tenacity of whatever it takes.
The engineering part of the design part of it, seeing him do anything in his shed. Mm-hmm. And I've always loved Triumph and BSAs. I had toyed around the idea of buying a old chopper, BSA, Triumph, what have you, and just kind of sitting in the garage. I can't ride it anymore, but I just think they're just beautiful bikes. Mm-hmm.
Very much so. Oh, yeah. So, and another. What is one hot rod car-related memory that sticks with you, whether it's a road trip, you know, whether it was you and your dad going to pick up a car, whether it was you and the wife or the daughters, what is if you had to narrow it down to one core memory that exemplifies the car culture, what's the story?
Rob and I went to, I believe it was Cincinnati Water Wheels. I was 15 or 16. Ed Roth was there. And I had met him in the past, and he was like, that's Ed Roth, cool. At this time, I got into my art. It was really getting heavy into hot rods. And I'm standing probably 20 feet from Ed, and I'm shaking. I'm going to meet my idol, you know. My dad's like, you're all right. I'm like, that's Ed Roth. Dude, come on. We walked up there and met Ed and talked to him for a bit. And he had this shifter knob of his head with a top hat on, and I was like, can you sign it for me? He's like, when am I going to sign a shifter now? I said, well, on top of the top hat. And he signed it and dated it. Mm-hmm. And that's something I've kept. And shortly after that, about a month later, when he passed away. And that's when it was, this is what I want to do. That was the aha moment. You know, their respect and, you know, meeting the people who worked with Ed in the past and hearing the stories and all that. You know, my dad being there with me and him guiding me the way. You know, that was just kind of great to share that. You know, my dad's my best friend. And to have Ed Roth be like my idol and all right there at the same time was really cool. You know, and then becoming an artist and meeting Ed's family and all that, just it was surreal for sure.
That's awesome. Amazing.
Well, Do you have anybody that you would like to give a shout out to, or anybody you need to thank?
You know, my dad, my wife, Sam, my daughter, Rylan, Charlie, my whole family, all my fans and, you know, customer base at Asher Studios, you know, Man Fresh Company, House of Color, you know, I'll be coming to a show near you and look for me. And anybody wants to learn how to pinstripe or paint, I'd, you know, they call me the paint slinger. I'll teach anybody how to sling some paint.
Awesome.
Well, with that being said, make sure you go check out Swap It Fast. You know, make that connection. More buyers and sellers, the bigger it gets, the easier it's going to be for us to locate parts.
Oh, yes.
There you go.
And don't forget about Throttle Addict and using the code word Hot Rod, and you get to save 15% off.
And thank you to Asher Studios.
Yes, thank you.
Until next time, guys. Drive your shit.
See ya.
There you go.